Genesis. Before you do, we're going to go to Genesis 29. Before you do, there's one theme scripture that I want to read together. Let's recite it. It's on the wall. Psalms 150, verse 6. Let's recite it together. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Again, let everything have breath. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm breathing. I'm about to get my praise on. All right, give them high five to seal the deal. Genesis chapter 29. And then we'll go to Revelations chapter 21. Genesis chapter 29, in this particular chapter, we're going to start off at verse 30. It is the first time that praise is mentioned in the Bible. Genesis chapter 29, verse 30. Let's stand for the reading of the word of God. Verse 31. Let us pray. All wise and eternal God, it is your voice that we heard this morning. We were obedient to your voice. Thank you for placing desire in our heart to make it to your house of worship and praise. We come, Father, with a spirit of expectation. Therefore, Lord God, thank you for ushering us into worship and praise. For we came knowing that we need to hear from you. So, Father, we're going to ask now that you would break down every wall of division that's trying to keep us from coming into a oneness so that the Spirit can hear. Father, we know that you have given us your Spirit. So now let us hear what you are saying. Father, we love you and we thank you. And we anticipate a rhema word from you. And as I stand here on holy ground, I solicit you, Holy Spirit, that you would abound in this vessel. Push Felix out of the way. Crush his spirit, that your holiness would abound even more. Father, we know that it's you alone that we desire to hear from. We need you, God. So we ask you to have your way. As I submit, God, my will unto you, commit my spirit unto you, that you may use this vessel the way you see fit. And we promise, God, that we would look to you and give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Beginning at verse 31, when the Lord saw Leah was unloved, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Reuben. For she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. Then she stopped. She was producing baby after baby. In other words, the gifting of God was coming through her. And she praised God and stopped. That's good all by itself. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Last book of the Bible. Beginning at verse number 1. John writes, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Amen. Looking at the two texts that we embark on today, in the first text, we see a woman that was unloved. In the end, she was unloved by her husband. In the new text, Revelations, we see that there's a new Jerusalem, and God himself is the husband, and he has adorned his church, the bride. And that's you. And I know that some of us may feel unloved or may have felt unloved before. And I want you to meditate on this thought today, that you may be encouraged. Praise him because you're loved. You may have been thinking of all kinds of reasons to praise God, but I want you to know this. Number one is that you're loved. Number two, praise him for that alone. How many of you know you're loved? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It is something that we are the body of Christ. There has been a huge investment in us. But yet, that question is asked, if you know that you're loved. And we will respond with an emphatic yes and be encouraged with a thought process that we are loved. However, it is something to know that you are loved, and it's another thing to express what you already know. What I'm saying is, you can say that you know with and have no expression. And the truth be told, if somebody was to tell you that they loved you, but every action that they had did not line up with what they said, you would not believe that they love you. I believe that we've all been in relationships before. Some relationships, we have been made promises, and we have been told that we're loved. We've even, you thought for a second, but you've even made promises yourself and told somebody you loved them. And before you knew it, the one that you loved, you were saying something about them that didn't line up with the words that said you loved them. Isn't it something that we could proclaim one thing but yet live something else? I would find that it is important for us to understand there's a couple of things that you're going to get today. Number one, you have got to know that you know that you know, which means that you have to have confidence. Not confidence here, but confidence here. When you know that somebody truly loves you, there is a connection that happens. Therefore, when the connection is true and absolute, 1 Corinthians says, love keeps record of no wrong. It is strange that we call ourselves loved by God and want to say we're loved by him, but really don't accept his love. And the reason why I know we have not truly accepted his love is because when you accept his love, your love permeates and returns the same thing that he gave you. Thereby, you begin shifting from your mind thought to your heart thought. And if anybody does you wrong that you love, you will not hold it against them. As a matter of fact, we have just tiptoed out of the month of forgiveness, and now we're in the month of praise, which means that God wants you to know and understand what praise really means. We have been unlocked from that bond of unforgiveness, and now that you're free and know forgiveness in a whole nother way, you need to know praise in a whole nother way. We will say that we love somebody, and then the moment that person does something doesn't line up with our crazy mind, you know, can we just admit this thing is just not right? The Holy Spirit is working on that right now. As a matter of fact, this thing is so crazy, you could be in the middle of worship and have a crazy thought. Huh? You ever just been worshiping and just get a crazy thought and you, where'd that come from? And then you start looking next to you to see if they saw what you just thought. It's something. This thing is just not right. So God gives us his spirit so that we can praise him. Now praise means more than opening up your mouth. Anybody can open up their mouth and shout. But praise is an inward expression from not your mind, but from your heart. Your mind could see something and get happy about it and be praising. You know, when you open up the mail and you get that check you wasn't expecting. You could begin to praise because you saw it. It was something seen. But in your heart, you should be able to praise God without God doing another thing for you. You should be able to praise God just for the very fact that you're loved. See, but something happens to us. God has trusted us, and I want you to know that there's a spirit of confusion that's trying to confuse you. So then you think that you need something done in order for you to praise. But it's already done. And if you focus on what's already done instead of waiting for something to be done, you could skip, dance, and have a praise party all the time. In this particular text, you're going to see that this woman, at the very end of the journey, she praised God. God gave her gifts. He opened up her womb. Let me give you a little background on this woman, Leah. This woman, Leah, is the wife of now Jacob. Jacob is Israel, God's chosen man. he works for Laban. He worked 7 years so that he can get the daughter, which is Rachel, whom he chose. And then when he worked the 7 years for her, then the father gave him Leah and said, no, I'm going to get 7 more years out of here, you, because I know what you want. So he worked 7 more years to get Rachel. So Leah knew that he was in love with Rachel, and so she felt unloved. Now you get the picture. Have anybody ever just felt unloved before because somebody is getting more attention than you getting? Can you understand how this woman must have felt? And so we have been in similar positions where we have started looking for love in all the wrong places. Can I just get 2 or 3 of you could just witness with me for a moment and just admit that you've searched for love in all the wrong places. You look for it in a man and that man messed you up. You look for it in a woman and that woman messed you up. You look for it in some stuff and then when the stuff left, your joy left. Oh, you look for it in the wrong places. Looking for love in the wrong places. This woman feels unloved, and so she asks God for a child. And God, he gives her a child, and he gives her another one, and then he gives her another one, and then he gives her the fourth one, and then she finally gets her mind right that it wasn't about the gifting. It was about him. Understand that the word praise, there's two words in Hebrew that define the word praise. The first one is yada, and the other one is halal. Now, praise means more than opening up your mouth. It is an inward thing that happens, and you express it on the outside. As a matter of fact, the meaning is to sound out or to rave, to give thanks, to make a show, to shine. Where Charlie at? To run, to boast, or to celebrate. A praise will make you go nuts up in here. I'm not talking about a cute little praise. I'm talking about an unrestricted godly praise. I'm talking about a praise that'll make a demon stand still. I'm talking about a praise that will make the seraphims in heaven stop flying around and look down and say, oh, somebody is out praising. Oh, somebody is out praising me. This woman, She has her first child, and the Bible said that God knew her affliction. She got happy because God knew her affliction, and so she named him Reuben. And Reuben means a son, or if you go into the deeper meaning of it, is a son that builds the family together. And so Reuben, she's satisfied because God gifted her, and she knew that God knew her affliction. And some of you are hiding the very thing that's afflicting you, but I got news for you. God knows your affliction. As a matter of fact, there was some affliction that was keeping you from becoming his, and God went in and broke up every affliction. Why? Because he wanted to make you sons and daughters of God so that you could bring the whole family together. Are you getting a picture of what God is up to? Hallelujah. She has a second son. Somebody say second son. She names him Simeon. And Simeon is pronounced Shimon. To hear intelligently, to bring one's attention, obedient, to diligently discern, to give ear to carefully, certainly consider the cause, to make hear, to listen. It means so much about hearing it. It means to a deeper listening, to a godly listening, that she names her child Simeon. Why? Because she knew that God hears her. God, he blessed us to become second sons.
See, all throughout the Bible, there's teaching on the blessing being on the second son. Because man's way has been always, when you look at it in an earthly way, the first son gets the greater inheritance. But God said, I can't do things that way because I don't operate according to man. I operate according to my way. And so he said, my blessing falls on the second son. And so if you understand that no matter what, you were born one way. That was your first birth. And when Christ came into you, that became your second birth. And now we are all the second son of God. And because we are the second son of God, we have got to get it deep down in our spirit that God hears us. It's something that you have the Spirit of God in you. But there's something wrong that we keep operating in our mind thoughts. Because we will keep praying the same prayer over and over. Like God has a hearing problem. He do not need no hearing aid. As a matter of fact, God heard you when you were beginning to think about and your mind was getting ready to order your tongue for it to roll out in your mouth. God says, I hear you in your thought process. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put your thoughts there for you. I hear when you think crazy and I hear when you think according to my will. If you know that God hears you, then you'll stop praying the same prayer. Because God, if he hears you, then you know you don't have to ask him again. Your God is so God. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to say what you're going to pray. And God will hear you. He hears every thought that you have. And we keep repeating the same thing over and over and over again. Why? Because we are so trapped in a worldly way of thinking that we need to release that today, pronounce benediction on it, and accept kingdom living and know that God has already heard you. And if he heard you, you got to get it so in your spirit that you know everything is going to be all right. 1 John chapter 5, 14. Let me help your confidence a little. Because when you truly know that somebody heard you, you'll never ask them again. Now check this out. Verse 14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. The issue is maybe you're putting your confidence in the wrong place. Maybe you're putting your confidence in you. You think if you pray long enough and loud enough, he'll hear you. But it's not about you. It's about the spirit that dwells in you. And the only reason why you stuck on letting that record hit replay, just record player, just play, just stuck in the same position, asking God the same thing, is because of you. You are in the way. You are your own worst enemy. If you just trust God and believe God, all you have to know and have confidence is that he heard you. Tell your neighbor, he heard you. He said, if you ask anything, now here's the key, according to his will, he hears us. If you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, it's either you in the way or your prayer does not line up with the will of God. Either one, say it one good time and move on because he heard you. It's something that God says according to my will. That way it keeps you out of the program. Do you realize if God gave you everything you prayed for, how messed up you would be? And you'll be so messed up, you mess up other folks too. God, oh God, bless me with $1 million. God bless you with $1 million. You with your little giving self will give it to somebody who ain't all the way delivered yet and end up in the crack house because you gave them money and you had no business. Do you understand that if you try to do things your way, you can hurt somebody? He says that if we ask anything according to his will. So if you ask God for something, and he hasn't answered you, your next prayer should be, God, line my prayer up with your will. And then if you see the scripture, God, I see your will. Your will is for this. I'm praying your will. Because when God says, according to my will, he cancels everything that the devil might try to do to trick you. That way you can't be praying for somebody else's husband or praying for somebody else's wife. One woman told me, she said, oh, I seen this man and I was praying for that man. She said, I learned the greatest lesson ever. I kept telling God, oh, God, give me that man. Finally, God said, all right, and gave me the man. Shoot, it took me three. God, take this man. Take this man. We don't know. We got to seek God's will. It says, if we know he hears us. Now get this. This is a good part. He said, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions because we have asked of him. Isn't it something that we are children of God and we have the craziest prayer life? Wasted prayer. Hear prayers like, oh, Lord, let this gas go down, these gas prices. That's crazy. Oh, Lord, bless us. Let that go on sale. God can't get no glory from that. If you're going to pray a prayer, how about this prayer? God, bless me financially in such a way that everybody would know it's you blessing me, and I could buy anything I want, and I'll drive up to any gas station I want, and I won't even think about the price. I'll just be thinking about you. Can you imagine a prayer that lines up with his will?
Hallelujah.
God, help me out of this. You can help yourself out of that. Let's pray the will of God. This woman understood that hearing was a necessity. So when she, listen, the Bible said, when she understood that God heard her, she gave birth to another child. This child's name was Levi. Now, guess it. He understood that God heard her. Then she gives birth to Levi. Levi produces a lineage of priests, right down to Ananias, who anoints Saul at his conversion into Paul. Nobody could stop the movement of God. He kept producing priest after priest after priest. Through one son, the will of God kept going forth because she knew that God had heard her. When you understand that God hears you, nobody will be able to stop the will of God from happening in your life. God will keep moving you and producing you and reproducing you, and folk will be coming in your life. Because, why? Because you are from the tribe of Levi. You are the priesthood of God. Somebody shout, he healed me. And stop there. The will of God was in motion because she knew that he heard her. Now that you know that God hears you, now you know the will of God will never be stopped in your life. And no weapon formed against you will ever be able to prosper, because the will of God cannot be stopped by no enemy, and not even you can stop the will of God. So you can mess up if you want to, because there's some get up in you. And if you don't feel like getting up, you're going to get up anyway, because the will of God is going to happen in your life. And you wondering how you got enough energy to muster yourself up in here as hurt as you were. It wasn't up to you. It was up to the will of God. She had it in her spirit that he hears me. The wheel was moving. Things were in motion while she was yet having another child. Now get this. She was having children because she was unloved. And she thought the gifting of God, her way, was going to help her situation. But it was God's way that changed her situation, because he kept blessing her with gifts. And what am I saying? Don't get so caught up in the gift that God is blessing you with, because the gift that God is blessing you with is not meant for you. It's meant for the kingdom of God. And this woman produced yet another child. Now get this. The will of God is going forth. The production of God keeps happening. The fourth child, name is Judah. Isn't it something? The Bible says that when she had him, she praised. Still had the same unloving husband, but she praised. Oh, God. Let me try and get it out the way it's coming in. When you was unloved and God saw your affliction and knew your ears were all messed up, God said, I'm going to send my second son so that he can dwell in you and make you the second son. And what he said, and when you get the love that you've been waiting for, the love that you get, this final love, you should automatically know, because you have God inside of you, then you should be praising from God. It's not about what's up here. It's not about what's around you. It's about what's inside of you. The power of God rests inside of you. And when you tap into what's on the inside of you, you can be thankful and have a praise, because he loves you. And you know that there's no greater love that could have left you all tied up and messed up as you were, and God came in and changed you. You should be able to praise God for having a love for you.
Hallelujah.
He loves you. In spite of you, he loves you. It happened and you did it, and he is not even charging it to you. The Bible says, when she began to praise, she named him Judah. And when she finally got that she was loved, she didn't have no more children. She didn't need no more gifts. She had the greatest gift of all, that she was loved by the Most High God. And when you know that you're loved by God, you can begin to praise God. And when you know without a doubt, I'm just loved, it won't matter who stopped loving you. You can get happy anyway and say, I'm loved anyway. And you get happy because you know that God loves you. And can nobody love you like God loves you? He put up with you with that old nasty mouth that you had and all the stuff you used to do, and he just keep blessing you. That's a love that he has for you. Huh? You can not love me if you want to. I'm all wrapped up in Jesus. When you know that you are all wrapped up in him, you can pray. You can praise God when you don't have nothing on the outside. I was teaching at a seminary, and when I finally realized how much God loved me, he began to take stuff from me. Blessed me for years as an engineering manager traveling the world making more money, more money, more money. He was gifting me with stuff. And I allowed stuff to become my God. And when he rescued me, he said, I got to bring you closer. And when you get close to God, it hurts. Because he's a God of fire. He said, I got to burn out some of those memories you got. And God began to take some stuff from me. And I'll never forget. I was teaching seminary. And I was teaching a class on evangelism. When they finally foreclosed on the last house I was living in. And my family, I didn't know where to go or what to do. But I said, God, if you with me, you show me. He said, go talk to your wife. I went and told her. I said, honey, she said, wait a minute, before you say anything, if you trying to hold on to this house for me, you might as well let it go right now. Because if we have to live under a bridge together, then we gonna be a family. I said, all right, I'm gonna let it go. The house foreclosed that Thursday. I went to teach the class that Thursday night. I was teaching the class and the Holy Spirit fell upon me and I got so happy in the class. I was sharing how important it is to share the love of God. One of the students called me the next morning. He had bought the CD from the class. He said, Pastor, I need to talk to you because I know what you're going through. I said, what do you mean? He said, you were teaching that class last night like you were the happiest man in the world. I had to buy the CD because I'm a realtor and I buy investment property. I know your house had just got foreclosed on that morning. He said, and because of what I saw God moving in you, my life will never be the same. What am I saying? It don't matter what you're going through. God is using whatever you're going through so that he can show his love that he has for you, so that he can change somebody else around you. And if you know that you have God in you, and if you know that you are loved by God, stop looking for somebody else to love you. Stop looking for somebody else to quantify you. Stop looking for somebody else's approval. Baby, stamp. You're already approved. Stamp. You've already been sealed. The love of God is all over you. All in you, all around you, fully vested in you, will never leave you, will never forsake you, and that is worth a crazy praise because there's nobody like your God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that David praised God so hard that he came all out of his clothes. Undignified, unrestricted praise. Now get this. Every one of you was on your way to hell. And the love of God rescued you. If he don't do nothing else for you, you could praise him for that. Every time you sin, his blood rushes over and covers it up. You could thank him for that. Every time you cuss with your cussing self, he rushes over and covers up that too. Every time you lie, he covers that too. You know, we've come accustomed to praising God when we want to. That's not a praise. That's why he said through Joel, he says, outwardly you praise me, but inwardly you are murmuring and complaining. You know, we ought to, because of what God did for us, the love that is inside of us, we ought to praise God. We ought to praise God to the point that folks think we're weird. My kids always tell me, Dad, what's wrong with you? Because I get to walking down the sidewalk praising God. and I'm walking, and I'm walking, I'm looking up at the house, and the same love that he had for me, I'm pleading the blood over that house, and I'm believing that God's going to rescue them out of the house, because I know that this love that he placed inside of me is not just for me. I'm a lover now. I'm a love God's way. No matter what happens in my life, I'm crazy enough to look like a fool. Call me nuts if you want to, but Jesus saved me. He loves me, and there's no greater love. Man like him. He's loving me so much, it went down into my children, down into their children, down into their children. Generations of love. I'm praising God because he's full of love.
Hallelujah.
We want to pick when to praise God. If you really want to experience God, you ought to praise him. Win all the time. Driving down the street just to praise him. Pull up to a stoplight, I'm just to praise him. I look over to my side and they're looking at me weird, and I start to praise him. Why? Because it's not about me, it's about him. And people, God is looking to see his love come through you. Praise him because he loves you. If nobody else loves you, he loves you.
Amen.
Folks can talk about you when you're so full of love and you'll smile. Because you know they don't know what they're saying. If they did, they wouldn't have said it about you. See, understand, we have all this power. The Bible says he inhabits, he lives in your praise. You want God to really come alive in you? Praise him. Don't praise him for what you want him to do. Praise him for who he is. My God is awesome. Isn't it something? I watch this and I trip. I watch. I went to a basketball game. You know, little kid's playing NJB basketball. 10 years old. Little kid runs up. Bam! He throws up a three-pointer. 10 years old. Could barely reach the goal. Bam! All net. Crowd goes nuts. Just to praise him. Oh! He does it three times. Crowd's going nuts. He pulls up that last time, the fourth time. Same spotlight. He shot off the rim. Guess what the crowd said? Good shot. They were still praising him. It didn't work out the way you wanted to, but tell God, good shot. Can you praise him when you don't get it your way?
Hallelujah.
It's a good shot. Everything God does is good. Paul got it right. All things work together for the good. You might be in a mess right now. You can praise God all the way out of that mess.
Amen.
We waiting for God to show us something. He already did. He showed you his love. People say, why are you so happy? Because he loves me. Who? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about Jesus. It works. It works. Wherever we go, we ought to be different. And you don't always have to shout. You can skip. Listen, God works through your trouble. He'll love you right out of it. Because people are watching you in trouble. That's why we got to pray a prayer that's bigger than you. Can you imagine going into the bank and they say, oh, how can I help you? You want to make a deposit? You say, no, I want to buy the bank. God told me to buy the bank. Here's a check. Can God trust you like that? We're praying these prayers. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever hope, think, or imagine. Let your praise loose. You've been holding it and reserving it for God to do something. Breaking news. He already did. He did it on the cross, and he did it for you. Now he's vested. He said, anybody who just believes, he said, I'm going to give them eternal life and also abundant life. And I'm going to tell you one thing right here. You better get this, because this is going to help you. The reason why you are not experiencing abundant in every area of your life is because you have a restricted praise. In the name of Jesus, I come against that boa constricting spirit. And who the Spirit has set free is free indeed. And I want all the people who are crazy enough to give God a crazy praise, to give him a praise in this place. Stay, rest of your feet.